Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The brief text for our consideration today is a portion of our Old Testament reading for this morning, the 23rd Psalm, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, dear fellow redeemed. There's a story that's been a favorite of mine for some time. It's about a pastor in a small town who was in the habit of publishing his sermon text and theme in the newspaper each week on Saturday. That meant, however, that he had to get started a little bit early in order that he could get the theme into the editor of the paper by Friday afternoon. Well, one Friday in spring, the pastor found himself studying the same text that we have for our sermon this morning, the 23rd Psalm. For the life of him, he couldn't come up with a theme that he was happy with. Finally, he called the editor just a few minutes before the deadline at 5 p.m. and told him what the text was. And when asked his theme, the pastor said, "The Lord is my shepherd." "That's it," said the editor. "That's all there is?" "That is enough," the pastor replied, and hung up the phone. So you can imagine his surprise when he opened up his newspaper the following morning and saw his theme stated, "The Lord is my shepherd, that is enough." Obviously, that wasn't the pastor's intention. But if you stop and think about it for a moment, it's amazing how apt that theme is for the text before us today. It speaks to the all-sufficiency of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ. You know, down through the centuries, believers have trusted implicitly, like trusting sheep, in the Lord Jesus to supply their every physical and spiritual need. So if you've been racked with anxiety and uncertainty about the future recently, if you're wondering where things are going, how you're going to make ends meet, or even more important, what's going to happen when you meet your end, then your answer lies in this well-beloved psalm. It's entirely appropriate that we take as our theme on this Good Shepherd Sunday, "The Lord is my shepherd, that is enough. Enough to save a lost and wayward sheep like me. Enough to provide and care for me my whole life long." The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean exactly? The occupation of shepherd is somewhat unfamiliar to 21st century Americans, most of us anyway. We need to realize, however, that it was completely familiar to all of the people of King David's time. It was especially familiar to King David himself, because, as you know, like Moses before him, he spent quite a number of years of his life working as a shepherd. You remember when the Israelite army was threatened by the Philistines and the great warrior Goliath. David reassured King Saul by harking back to his experience as a shepherd. He said, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So David knew what it was like to be a shepherd. He knew just what it meant to travel day in and day out with the flock, to guard and care for the flock, to bind up the wounded sheep, to protect them from predators. And when David wanted to describe the way that God cares for and protects his people, this was the picture that sprang immediately to mind, the picture of a shepherd. Maybe when you were little and you heard the first verse of Psalm 23, you had the same question I had. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want what?" What does that mean exactly? I shall not want anything? I shall not want the shepherd? That can't be the meaning. The verse is a bit confusing because it uses the word want in a way that we're not accustomed to today. To want means to have a lack, a shortfall, to be missing something that you really need. In the old days, it was said that if you had no food or clothing, you were in want. A rich man proposing marriage to a young woman might promise her, "You shall never want for anything ever again." Well, here in the 23rd Psalm, what King David is saying, in effect, is, "The Lord is my shepherd, that is enough. All my needs, both physical and spiritual, always have been and always will be provided by my good shepherd." What a beautiful confession. It's a confession that every Christian can and ought to make. The sad thing is how often we've acted as if our good shepherd wasn't enough. How many times have you relied not on God, but on things to supply your need? How often haven't you looked for security and deliverance, not to your good shepherd, but to other things? How often haven't you, in effect, said, "I've got money in the bank I shall not want. I've got an insurance policy or a retirement account I shall not want. I'm young and in my prime. I'm at the height of my earning power. I've got talents and abilities I shall not want." So through the ages, the soldier has trusted in his arms, the scholar in his learning, and the rich man in his gold. All of them have been disappointed. For the simple fact is that none of these things can be relied upon. All of them are liable to let you down just when you need them most. And this is perhaps true about nothing more than money. It's certainly money is the least reliable thing to put your confidence in. Many Americans learned that the hard way in 2008 when the stock market crashed. A lot of people woke up to find that their retirement account, their savings had been cut in half or worse. Many of those people discovered the sad truth that if money is your shepherd, you may indeed find yourself in serious want. The Bible says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." Another thing that is often turned into an idol, especially in our day and age, is health. How many times have you heard people say, "Well, at least I've got my health, and that's the important thing"? Really? That's the most important thing? We all know how suddenly health can change. One day you're in the pink, on top of the world, you feel great, and the next day illness or injury strikes you or strikes a loved one. And you enter a world of weakness and pain and anxiety. At times like that, when you suddenly haven't got your health, you learn how important it is to have a good shepherd. You've seen the artist depictions, no doubt, of Jesus as a good shepherd, leading his flock along a steep and narrow path, gently guiding them, bearing the lambs of the flock in his arms. It's a poignant and touching picture and a very appropriate one. But of course, most people dwell on the beautiful picture of Christ as the good shepherd. One a little less appealing aspect of this picture is of the sheep. If Jesus is the shepherd, that means that you and I are what? The sheep. Not sure that's a very complimentary picture. If you think about it, for any length of time, you soon realize how uncomplimentary that is. Sheep are well known to be the least intelligent of domestic animals. They're the most prone to wander and get into trouble. And when they do find trouble, they're the most powerless to help themselves out of it. A sheep without a shepherd, or one that is lost, is completely powerless to help itself. It's at the mercy of the many predators that threaten it. In fact, it's hard to think of another creature that has so many natural enemies and so little natural ability to defend itself, except possibly human beings. We're very similar to sheep in a lot of ways, aren't we? And King David wasn't the first one to recognize that. Isaiah said the same thing. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. We've all gone astray. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, have strayed from the side of our good shepherd. We've all wandered into paths that were dangerous and sinful, wandered into places where we knew we had no right to be. So what did the Lord do about that? Did he cast us off eternally? Did he condemn us to a future that is bleak and full of everlasting torment? No. For Isaiah goes on, the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Instead of punishing the sheep, you see, our Heavenly Father punished the shepherd. The Lord laid on Jesus, our good shepherd, the complete punishment for our sin. And now comes one of the most beautiful mixed metaphors you're likely ever to hear, because we've been talking up till now about Jesus as the good shepherd. But Isaiah says that for your sake, the shepherd allowed himself to be treated like a sheep. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. How true were those words of John the Baptist as he pointed at Jesus passing by and identified him by saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus took on himself human flesh so that he might redeem us flawed and failing and sinful humans. Jesus, our good shepherd, allowed himself to be made the sacrificial lamb. He offered himself on Calvary so that by the blood of his sacrifice, you and I might be released from the punishment of our sins forever. What joy and what release. For God to say to you today that nothing further is required of you, that in fact everything necessary for your salvation was already done long ago by Jesus. By the way, we sometimes speak of that all-revealing question, you know, the one where you've died and God meets you at the pearly gates and says, "Why should I let you into heaven?" Here's your answer. The Lord is my shepherd. That is enough. Jesus died to cover my sins. He redeemed me so that I now have a place in heaven earned by him. My prayer for you is that Christ will be your sufficiency in all things, not just today, but every day for the rest of your lives. May our children, lisping at their mother's knee, learn to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." That is enough. May our confirmation students who take their vows here at our altar learn to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." That is enough. May the aged of our congregation never falter, but even when they face the dark valley of the shadow of death, say confidently, "The Lord is my shepherd." That is enough. For it is surely true that those who place their trust in the good shepherd Jesus Christ will also take their place with the elders round the throne of their Savior one day and join them, as John describes it in Revelation chapter 7. He said to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Amen. Please rise.